Two Reb Shmuel Aliezer. So the shir is dedicated in his memory. So the shir is dedicated in his memory. You know, the Masho's name was Shmuel Aliezer. Masho's name was Shmuel Aliezer. We have in history books that there was once a discussion among the Rabbanim whether Tzavos Rabbi Yudah HaChassid is binding only on the descendants of Rabbi Yudah HaChassid. He had a Tzavo with all kinds of strange things there. So they had a whole pilpul whether the
sisters.
All kinds of whether the Tzavo is only binding on his Yotze Chalotzov or it's binding on everybody. Everybody has to observe his name. So they write in the history books that the Marsho was there, Nevad Arba Rotis, when they were discussing the issue. So he said that, and he claimed that he was a descendant of Rabbi Yudah HaChassid, and he said that one of the Tzavos of Rabbi Yudah HaChassid, we don't have it in the list that we have, Shteknish, but he said one of the Tzavos of Rabbi Yudah HaChassid was that they shouldn't name any of their children Shmuel nor Eliezer. And he says, I'm a descendant, my name is Shmuel Eliezer, both. So he said even the descendants of the Rabbi HaChassid didn't follow it. So it's not binding on anybody. That's what he said. I wanted to discuss some different inyanim of Shavuos tonight. So maybe we'll first discuss the Mishnah on Pei Vav Amud Aleph in Masechah Shabbos. After all, we're learning Shabbos this year. So a little bit we'll discuss. At the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu required of the men and of the women that they should all go to mikveh. This requirement was not because a Tomei was forbidden to be present at Har Sinai. No. The Gemara says in Brochis that if a person would be a Metzoyer, a person would be a Zav, or a Zavah, or a Nida, or Yoledes, any other Tumah, it wouldn't pose a problem. But the problem only was with respect to Tumas Balkeri and with respect to Poleta Shechvazer. Tumas Balkeri and Poleta Shechvazer are Tumas that come because of Zechichas Hadas, because of lightheadedness, and this didn't jive, this didn't shtim with Maimon HaSinai. They're going to be listening to the Shechina, speaking directly to them, so that's not proper. So it's for this reason that they had to wait when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu that he's going to make the Maimon HaSinai, so he required that the Maimon HaSinai will take place in a few days. If the problem would have only been if only the men would be present at Maimon HaSinai, they wouldn't have had to wait 3 days. They would just have to have tefillah in the mikveh that day. If a man is a balkeri, he goes to mikveh that day, then he has Harav Shemesh and Fratik. So tomorrow morning they could already have Maimon HaSinai. The problem always was from the women. The women always make all the trouble. So the women were also, the Rebbe Shalom wanted the women also to be present at Maimon HaSinai. And if a woman had Tashmish and then she's Polet to Shechvazera, so she has the possibility of being poleta, as the shechvazera, to come out from her body, from the bayis apnimi, into the bayis achitzon. The woman can be poleta shechvazera. Let's say she has tashmish on Sunday. She can be poleta a little bit of shechvazera on Sunday, a little bit on Monday, a little bit on Tuesday, a little bit on Wednesday. The shechvazera is not necessarily all going to come out bevasach, as if she'll take a bath, she'll take a shower, she'll wash out in mifnim. So then the Tosefta says that we assume that probably all the shechvazera will have come out. But they were traveling in the midbar then. So there was no shower, apparently. There was no bath. So there was no possibility of washing out. So you have to be afraid that the woman may be polite. The married women, the single women, would have no problem. If they would all be single and no one had tashmish before, they could have had Maimon HaSinai the next day. There wouldn't be a problem. The problem was because of the married women, they may have just had tashmish, so then they'll be polite today, tomorrow, the next day, the next day, the next day, the next day. So then, what good is it? She's going to go to mikveh today. She'll be poletus again tomorrow. So that's right in Ishtag. So that's why the HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded they have to wait 3 days. And then there won't be any longer any problem of poletus shechazer. Why won't there be any problem? It's possible to be poletus even after. So the Mishnah and the Gemara explain on Peivav and Alf, no, that's not a problem. Poletus shechazer has only mitami the isha. If the shechazer still has the power, still has the koyach to be mazriya, that it's still shayach, it still has the strength, has potency that it's shayach to make the woman pregnant. So there's a maximum amount of time after which we assume that the shechazer no longer has the koyach to make the woman pregnant. So that's a machlekes hatanaim. What is that maximum amount of time? It's a shayla lahalacha. What's the shayla lahalacha? Let's say bizman hazeh. Let's say a woman. Well, bizman hazeh, what's the difference? We're not having any mamir hasinai, and everybody's tummy anyway. Everybody's tummy meis to mas meis anyway. But it's an afkamina ladina for the following din. The Gemara has. The Gemara has the following: Min ha-teira, a woman who has a riyaz dam can either be a nida or a zava. So the Chumash says, how do you determine whether the woman is a nida, the woman is a zava? If the riyaz dam comes be ace nidosa at the normal time, when the oynas abesis is, when this man is the regular zman when she should have it, that's called a nida. What happens if the woman has this man below ace nidosa at an abnormal time? Then she becomes a zava, and it's a different din. So how do you know when it's called ace nidosa, when it's lo ace nidosa? So Rashi and Chumash quotes from the Gemara in the very last daf in Maseches Nida that there are 11 days. It's called Yud Aleph Yom Shebe Nida LeNida. This Haistazoy. The Rambam has a different shita, but we don't pass like the Rambam. Most of the Rishonim, except for the Rambam, say the normal pshat is like this: if a woman became, let's say, today's Rosh Chodesh still, before the Shkia, a woman became a Nida on Rosh Chodesh, so she's a Nida for the first 7 days. Day one through she had, whether she had the Riyaz Dam last night. A minute after Tzeis HaKechavim, or this morning, or this afternoon, or this evening, anytime before the Shkia. If the Dam was today, on the first day of Rosh Chodesh, she's a Nida for the first 7 days. Not 7 days late, 7 times 24. She's a Nida for the first 7 days, till the end of the seventh day. Whether or not she sees Dam, during the middle of those 7 days, she can go to Mikvah the end of the seventh day. After Tzeis HaKechavim, she can go to Mikvah. Then the next 11 days following those 7 days are called, those are labeled as the Yud Aleph Yom, Shebein Nido LeNido, that if she'll have a Riyaz Dam during those 11 days, she has the opportunity of becoming a Zova. If she doesn't have any Riyaz Dam in those 11 days, she has it later, anytime she has later, she'll become a Nido. She won't become a Zova. Then the next time she becomes a Nido, she'll be a Nido for that day plus another 6 days, another 7 days, and then she'll go to Mikveh after. And then the next 11 days following those 7 days, she has the ability to become a Zova. So what's the difference, halacha l'maaseh, between a Nido and a Zova? So one of the several differences is that a Nida doesn't have to have Shiva Nikim. A Nida just waits. If she had Dam on the Rosh Chodesh, so she can have Dam for 6.5 days, till the middle of the seventh day. And then once the Dam ends, she goes to Mikvah the night after that day and finished. You don't have to have any Shiva Nikim. If the woman was a Zavo, she had the Dam below Es Nida, so the Dam came during those 11 days. She'd be Yud Aleph Yom Shebe Nida La Nida, then she becomes a Zavo. Then Allah requires that she should have Shiva Nikim. How come Bizman Hazeh, all the women are required to have Shiva Nikim? It's very rare that a woman is going to be a Zava. If the woman has a Riyah in those 11 days, she should really see a doctor right away. So every month the women have to wait Shiva Nikim. So the Gemara quotes, that's a takana that Rabbi Yudah Anasi made, because the women were getting confused between the dinim. This is a din for Nida, this is a din for Zava. They go to Mikvah in the daytime, they go at nighttime, they have Shiva Nikim. It's too confusing. So he made a takana, Rabbi Yudah Anasi made a takana to make everything simple, so you always require Shiva Nikim. So the Gemara has, so in other words, we treat all of Nashi Didan, we treat all of our women as a Zava, as if they're a Zava, so everybody needs Shiva Nikim. Fine. So the Gemara has a Shaila. What's the nature of the din of Paleta Shechvazer? If an Isha has Dam that comes from her body that makes her a Nido or a Zova, that's called the Tumas Riya. A Tumah Hayotza Olamigufa. There are two different types of Tumah. There's a Tumas Maga, I touch a mace. So the mace is the source of the Tumah. When I touch the mace, the Tumah is transmitted from the mace to me. I touch a Sheretz. I touch a Nida. I touch a Zav. So the Tumah, he's the source, he or she, that person is the source of the Tumah. When I touch it, it comes over with contact. But then there's another tumor that tumor hayoitza all of migufa develops within the person's body, that zav, zava, nidi, oledis, and mitzayim. Those five people are called tumas riya, or sometimes we call them, same thing, tumor hayoitza all of migufa, in contrast to tumas maga. And there are differences la locha, because this is a tumas maga is a lower level, and tumas riya, tumor hayoitza migufa is a higher level of tumas, so there are differences la locha. So the Gemara has a clear, the Gemara will listen, what's the nature of the din of palet the shichlazer? If the Isha has dam that goes from her body, naturally started in the lining of her inside the womb, and the dam comes out, that's called the Riyas dam, either makes her a nida or a zava. So then that's a Riyas nida. That's a Riyah. That's a tum hayotzel megufot. But if the Isha had tashmish with her husband and the Sheikh Lazera went in and then the Sheikh Lazera comes out, that's not from her body. That's an external thing that rolls out. It's a foreign substance. So I should call that a tumas maga. You call that a tumas riya, call it a tumas maga.
Less.
Less. It should be less. It should only be like a tumas maga. So the Gemara declares and the Gemara says no. That look at Har Sinai. All the other Tmein were permitted to be present at the Ma'amar HaSinai. If a person would be a Mitzayra, a person would be a Nageh B'meis, a Nageh B'sheretz, a Zav, anything doesn't bother me. The only two Tumas were the Tumas, Tumah Yotzel Megufoy of Balkeri and of Palet Teshich Vazer. So if you're going to say that Palet Teshich Vazer is only a Tumas Mago, it's up his gore all the way down on the bottom. Tumas Mago. So because of the Tumas Mago, that's why she's forbidden to participate in Maimon HaSinai. So the Pashtus and the whole Parsha of Maimon HaSinai implies that a Palet Teshich Vazer, it's a very strange deal, a Palet Teshich Vazer, even though the Zera that comes out, that rolls out from her body, is a foreign Wrong substance that didn't develop in her body, nevertheless it would appear that it's a Tumas Riyah.
And
Mazria is a different thing. No, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about she's Paleta, the Shechvazera that came in from the husband. No, it's different. So the Gemara seems to assume Lamaskana that a Paleta Shechvazera is a Tumas Riya and it's not a Tumas Mal. So what's enough Kamina Halachal Maisib is Manazer? But we're not having another Maimin HaSinai. Maybe we will have, but we haven't had yet. So what's enough Kamina Halacha? So the Gemara Ni declares the Shaila. Where the palet the shich vazer is a tumas mago, tumas riyah, nafkamina for the following din. A woman is a zova. By us, we treat all of the women as a zova. So they all need shivinikim. So what happens in the middle of shivinikim? A woman goes to Lavaya. She touches a mace. So would you say that that day doesn't count? That day of the shivinikim, a woman touches a dead mouse. So because she was in contact with a tumah, she made a tumas mago. That day of Shivani Kim shouldn't count. Why shouldn't it count? What's the connection? So she became Tomei Tumas Mago. Doesn't bother me. But if the woman has a Riyah in the middle of Shivani Kim, so that Riyah may shake us up. So if the woman has a Riyah's Dam in the middle of Shivani Kim, so that God, that breaks everything up. You have to start all the Shivani Kim all over again. Because you have to have Shivani Kim Ritzufim, they have to be in a row. So the Gemara has a Shaila, what if the woman is Poleta Shichva Zera? In the middle of the Shivani Kim. Mashallah, it's not so difficult to visualize. A woman became a Nida, and then at the end of the 7 days of Nida, she went to the mikveh. She went to the mikveh, then she was with her husband. Then after being with her husband, then she has a Riyas Dam that makes her into a Zava.
I have to have three Riyas.
Okay, three Riyas, so 3 days in a row.
3 days.
Okay.
3 days already.
Okay. So let's figure out, we'll figure something out. So let's say the woman becomes a Zava, and then she starts counting Shivanikim, and in the middle of Shivanikim, there's Shechvazera that was there from before the time that she became a Zava, rolls out. Would you say that that day would be discounted or not? So the Gemara says that it depends on the Shaila. If Paleti Shechvazera is a Tumas Mago, it shouldn't be discounted at all. It's like touching a mace, like going to a Levi in the middle of Shivanikim, is Soisa. Why should it be Soisa? But if you say that Paleti Shechvazera is it Tumas Riyo, then you should say that it's Seisa that day. Should not bother me. Other forms of Riyah would not bother me. Somehow the Gemara thinks that this form of Riyah, because it goes from the same place, from the Bayis HaPnimi into the Bayis HaChitzon, that this would disturb me. Yeah. It's a very strange assumption. It's not a Riyas Dam. So we want to know, the Gemara has this shot. The Gemara makes that assumption, a very strange assumption. That's what the Gemara assumes. If it's a Tumas Riyo, then it would be Saisa that one day. Wouldn't necessarily be Saisa all the, let's say she's holding in the middle of Shivinikim, and then she has a Polat to Shechlazer. So it wouldn't necessarily be Saisa all the days from before, but that day it would be Saisa. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion, that's how we pass in Lalocha, that a Polat to Shechlazera is a Tumas Riyo, and it's Saisa that day. That day cannot be Oila. But now the shaila is halacha lemaisa bizman hazeh, how many days after having tashmish will a shechva zera still be potent, that it'll still have the status of palat shechva zera, that it'll be soiser? So that's the machloikis atanoim and the machloikis in rishonim, what the psak halacha is. So the Gemara says one tana is of the opinion. Okay, the Mishnah says minayin lepalat shechva zera bayom hashlishi, even the third day after she had tashmish. Now the third day, it's going to be more than 48 hours. The shaila is more than 48 hours. How far into the third day is it going to be after Shia Tashmish? The Gemara has all the different opinions. One Tana is of the opinion that Dalad Oynas, only 48 hours, no more. One Tana is of the opinion three Oynas, only 36 hours. One Tana is of the opinion six Oynas, three full days, 72 hours. Different opinions. And La Lochetz and Machlekes, whether it's Vav Oynas or Gimel Oynas. Machlekes is the Rambam and the other Rishonim. Whether it's 36 hours or 72 hours, how long? It's a medical shayla. It's a shayla of metzias. How long after the shechva zera comes out from the gufa ish, and it's sitting in the gufa isha and the rechem isha, how long does it take till it's masriach and it's not roi lahazri anymore? And the Gemara said beferish, it's not a mystical shayla. It's not totally in any halachas. It's simply totally in medicine. The Gemara has an interesting sofik on omid beis, on peivav omid beis. The Gemara has a shaila, boi rapapa, right in the middle of the omud. When it says boi rapapa, and it says on the side, nida lamedala on the base, boi rapapa, hata a shaila. So zolzach nishtrefen, visit trefzach. The Gemara has a shaila, shichvazer, and shaila yisrael, b'mei kusis mau. A Jewish man was mezana with a shiksen. So the shichvazera of the Jew is metame. Shichvazera of a nochri is not metame. Dama nida of a nochri is not metame. The goyim don't have any tumma. When they die, they have tumma. Because now they're alive, they don't have any of these dinam of tumma. So what if there's a...
Could be artificial insemination.
So the Gemara has a shaila. What if the shechvazer from a Jewish man inside the body of a kusis? How long does it sit there that it should be matzriach? They say that it's the same as inside the body of the Israelis. It's also 36 hours, 72 hours, 48 hours, whatever the shita was, whatever shita you'll accept. We accept 72 hours. Whatever shita you'll accept on Amud Aleph. Or maybe you should say that it's different. So the Gemara says that it's simply a medical question. You have to ascertain medically how long does it take for the shechvazera to be masriach. What's the tzad to say that it's different? Whether the shechvazera is sitting inside the body of a Jewish woman, inside the body of a non-Jewish woman? Or should it make a difference medically, physically? So the Gemara says that the body temperature is different. Possibly. The Gemara raised the possibility. Maybe the body temperature of the kusis is different inside from the body temperature of Israelis. Why? So the Gemara wants to know. Israel, the daigi b'mitzvahs. Since the Yidin are always nervous about keeping mitzvahs, so their bodies are very hot. Chavul gufayim. Akum deloi daigi b'mitzvahs loi. The nochem are not nervous. They're not running around and nervous about keeping mitzvahs, so they have a lower body temperature. So maybe it'll take longer for the shechva zera to be matzviach, because the hotter it is inside the body, so the faster it'll be matzviach. Oy dilmo, or maybe she say fakir. Kevin nachnu shkatzim ramasim. Since they eat all the treifa chazarai, so therefore chavul gufayim. Maybe their body is the same. Maybe their body is just as hot. Strange shal. But Chassam Sofer has a comment on this gemara. It's chidush manida. Not he has a chidush manida. He has a comment that all of medicine is based on experimentations. No, they autopsies, they cut up dead bodies, they cut up living bodies, and they experiment. So all the experiments were made on goyish bodies. Most of the experiments were made on goyish bodies. So he says, but the Gemara says that the body is physically possibly different. So he says, so all of the medicine may be that it's not always gehalten for the eating. So he says, when you have a suffix, sakonis nefoshes ashayla, if you're allowed to eat treifas in order to save their life, so he says, Avada, you rely on the medicine to be meikel, to eat the treifas and to be mechal Shabbos and whatever, safek sakana. But he says, to say b'taras vadai, that the medicine is going to work, b'taras vadai, we really can't tell, because maybe, he writes, Baba Nesenu Harab, and we don't have a Jewish medical school. Uh-huh. That's the lashon of the Chassam Sofer.
You're assuming that the medical assumption
that
tomorrow is still
serious. That's what he's assuming. Mm-hmm. He's assuming that the Gemara makes...
Cadavers?
That's what he says.
Yeah.
That's what he's right. He says, Chaval, that we don't have a Jewish medical school where they work on Jewish bodies. What exactly does it mean? How are they going to work on Jewish bodies? He wrote the Chu himself in Tonishmach. That's what he says. Right? So funny lashon. He says nevach. We don't chaval. We don't have. They have never worked out a separate medicine for yid. So if Allah zechan. Okay, chaval etzus. Chaval etzus. Some but that it's clear from the Gemara that it's simply a medical issue over here. It's not some deep Kabbalistic question whether it's 42 hours or 72 hours or whatever it is. Simply a shaila medicine. So la halacha, we're machmir that with the girsa in the Gemara. The Ram had a different girsa. We're machmir with the girsa that vav onus, and ona means 12 hours of the day. So vav onus means 6 times 12 hours, that's 72 hours, 3 full days. So therefore, that's why it says in Shulchan Aruch the Chumra that the woman, since we treat all the women today as a zava, so they all need shivanikiyim, so we say the woman shouldn't begin to count shivanikiyim till after 4 days are up. Till after 4 days are up after having tashmish. So let's say if the woman had tashmish on Matzoi Shabbos, and then she has the Riyaz Dam on Sunday morning, so the tashmish that she had on Matzoi Shabbos could lead her to be a poletus up until 72 hours later, which is 72 hours is 3 days theoretically. But on the calendar, the 72 hours can turn out to be 4 days. Let's say she had tashmish at 12 o'clock at night. So up until 72 hours later, it's going to be till Monday night, till Sunday night, till Monday night, till Tuesday night. Tuesday night is ready, Alpidin Wednesday. Tuesday night after Tzeis Kacham is already Wednesday. So you have, if she was Mishameshes, if she had tashmish on Motzoi Shabbos, she had the Riyah on Sunday, so Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the first 4 days have to be discounted because maybe, well, the first day is discounted, she had the Riyah's Dam. You can't count the first day as the first day of Shivani Kim. She had Dam on that day. But let's say Monday. She has to discount Monday. Even if there's no Dam on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. She only had a Tipa's Dam on Sunday. She cannot begin to count Shivani Kim till after Tuesday. Why? Because Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's the possibility that she was Palet to Sheikh Vazera on each one of those days. Possibly she was Palet to Sheikh Hassan each one of those days, in which case Monday was Nistar and that Riyah was Saisa Tuesday and was Saisa Wednesday. So that's why he says in the Shulchan Aruch that even if the woman only had a Riyah 1 day, so why not make a Hepsik Tara that afternoon and start the next day counting Shivanikim? So we say no, because we are afraid that maybe she'll be Palet to Sheikh Vazera the first 3 days after, so we have to discount those days. So how come it says that we wait 5 days? Vasepis, why 5 days? The din is only, the maximum sheet is vavonos. Vavonos is 72 hours. 72 hours can turn out on the calendar to be 4 days. But it can't be 5 days. So where does the chumra 5 days come in? So they quote in the Shulchan Aruch, a chumra from the Trumas Hadeshen, that the Trumas Hadeshen said, what's going to be if the woman will have tashmish and then have the Riyaz Dam during the Ben Hashmashes period, in between Yom and Laila? So she may think that it was really, and they didn't have clocks Sunday and they didn't have watches to know exactly. Let's say Sunday evening, she has the tashmish Sunday evening Ben Hashmashes. Let's say the tashmish was Sunday evening, late in the afternoon during Ben Hashmashes approximately, but she doesn't know exactly what time it is. She didn't have a clock, she didn't have a watch, she doesn't know exactly what time. She just knows around that time, maybe 2 minutes of Maariv time. She had tashmish and soon after she had a Riyaz Dam. So she may think that the tashmish and the Riyaz Dam was all Mabod Yom, that it was all on Sunday afternoon before the Shkiyah. So she'll say, okay, I have to discount 4 days because of the 72 hours may turn out to be 4 days. So she's going to be discounting. Sunday is the first day because she thought that she had the Tashmish and the Riyaz Dam on Sunday. She'll discount Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And it's really not right. It may turn out that the truth of the case was that she had her Tashmish and the Riyaz Dam Balaylo, Sunday night. And Sunday night, if you stretch 72 hours later, that's going to be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So you have to discount Thursday also. So because of the possibility of Ben Hashmashes, that's why the Truma Sadeshin extended it. So he said that you should always wait 5 days instead of 4.
But why do you have to?
They just write in Shulchan Aruch. They just write in Shulchan Aruch that when the girl just first got married and they had the Bi'er Rishayna, so she's not really a Nido. It's only Dam Besulim. But the Gemara made a Chumrif in the Amoraim that you treat that you machmir the later tanoim. It's not from the later tanoim. Made a chumah that you treat dam besulim as if it's a din of a nida. So that when you get to that chumah, it's enough if you discount the first 4 days. You don't have to discount. We give them a break. For the first time she got married, so we give her a break that she doesn't have to wait 5 days and then 7 days. Give her a break. It's only 4 days and 7 days. But the rest of the time in the Shulchan Aruch they quote this chumah. that you machmir to discount 5 days, and that's all based on the Maimon HaSinai. The whole story with the 5 days and the 7 days, everything is based on the story of Maimon HaSinai. Why the Shechina required? Why Kadosh Baruch Hu required 3 days? Why do you have to wait 3 days before Maimon HaSinai if there would only be men present at Maimon HaSinai? We could have been table today and had Hayar of Shemesh and had the Kabbalah Satar the next morning. But because the Rebbeinu Shalom wanted the women also to be present, and the women who were married could have been pulled to Sheikh Lazera up until 3 days later, because it still has potency. So that's why they had to. That's why they had to wait the 3 days.
Yeah.
Right, that's what the Gemara discusses. What exactly did the Rebbeinu Shalom tell Moshe Rabbeinu, and what did Moshe Rabbeinu add on his own? So that's what the Gemara discusses. That's this sugya.
How does the Rambam work in with
three? The Rambam holds only three oynos.
How does he work in Tzimtzum?
The Gemara works out the Cheshbon. The Gemara works out the Cheshbon.
Going to Rambam, you wouldn't have to wait 5 days.
No. Going to Rambam wouldn't be 5 days. And then Shulchan Aruch has the Rambam has a further chumra. What if the woman hasn't had tashmish in a long time? The husband is in Europe on a business trip. He hasn't been around the chal. So then the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam has a chumra that we make a gzeira loy shimsho ato shimsho. That if you're going to tell her, it makes a difference whether she had tashmish or not. She has to go keep a record when she had tashmish. She has to mark up a calendar to remember. So they made a angifit uneasy to solve all the problems that you always have to discount the first 5 days before you have the ability to begin counting the Shivinikah. So this Mishnah, the whole story of Maimon HaSinai, the 3 days, is relevant to Halacha Bizman Hazeh. That's the sugya needed based on this Mishnah.
If the Gemara comes to the maskana that it's like a re'iyah, and it's a real din, so then would that is that accepted that's Halacha? We accept that. So
yeah.
Then, according to that, if she, let's say the case was there was water there, she would purposely go take a bath, so would that be like Mamzi Zer Levar Kala? If she purposely would take a bath, if it's considered like a Re'iyah, would it imply that if she would, would that it would be considered Mamzi Zer Levar Kala?
No, she's washing out the Zera Habal. No.
But if the Gemara comes out, if the Gemara
still
says
can still
that
be Masriya,
means she could have become pregnant with that, and now she prevents the possibility of becoming pregnant. Rabbi Kivega talks about that.
But she's not Mechoyer.
Some Rishonim hold. Some Rishonim hold that women are not Muzer Ashkos Azer. But even if you have women are Muzer Ashkos Azer, the Pashta says that. That's not Ashkos Azer. Rabbi Kivega has that kasha. The Pashta says Ashkos Azer means the Bishas Tashmish, there's something. Yeah, the Pashta is Mochach HaTashmish should not be a problem. But Rabbi Kivega says there should be this problem of Ashkos Azer. Pashtus is Ashkos Azera is only an Iser. Bishas, when the Zera comes out from the goof, then it's not Derech Tashmish. But if it came out Derech Tashmish and later on you wash it out of the body, the Pashtus is that. That's not an Iser. That's not most Achmanimism.
What about Tuat Nidin Zava by
Rabbanah? That wasn't a problem. That you came in a little late, Mustama. We mentioned the Gemara says in Brachas that Maimon HaSinai, they had to be Tohar only from the tumas that come ayidei zechichus hadas, out of a lightheadedness. That the only two tumas that were a problem was Balkari and Polati Shechvazera, because the Torah has to be, either because of Liman HaTorah has to be, or because the Kabbalah's Pnei Hashchina has to be Be'ema, Be'ira, Be'resus, Be'ziyah. So the only two tumas that bother us are these two tumas Riya, which come about ayidei zechichus hadas. But tumas Nidon, tumas Yoledes, and tumas Zavo, those didn't bother us. Kalas Arosh, yeah. Only those that come about like the Kalas Arosh. Because the Rebbeinu Shalom wanted either that Limud HaTorah should be in a dead serious atmosphere, or Kabbalah's Pnei Hashchina should be in a serious atmosphere. That's a shaila. What was the Kepeda on? The Kepeda was on Kabbalah's Limud HaTorah, but the Kepeda was on speaking to the Shechina. The Gemara says that Ezra made a takona that a Balkari and a Paleti Shechvezer are forbidden to learn Torah. Because that's what it says in Maimon HaSinai. So some Rishonim say that's not a takona. From the 10 takonas of Ezra, that's Dorash Rehiskin. The Miri says, that's a din d'oraisa, that's not a takonah d'rabbanan. And he says that that's why the later Tanoim had the right to repeal it. Tosfos is bothered with the kasha, Merubin and Brochus, Tosfos is the kasha. We have a klal, whatever the Chacham make a takonah d'rabbanan, and ain bez niyochel batel, dimi bez nechaveroi, and king gadol amene b'choch v'minyin. So if Ezra made a takonah bidoro, that a Balkari and a Poletas are not permitted to learn Torah unless they go to mikveh first, so how could the Gemara say in Brochus that in the later period of the Tanaim they repealed that Takon? The later Tanaim felt that they were greater b'chokhmah v'minyan than Ezra Beis Dino. So So Tezis gives various answers. So the Miri says that he doesn't see what Shver at all. Miri says that that's a din d'araisa. That's not. Ezra didn't make a takanah d'rabbana. He darshan the pasuk. It says in the Chumash that you have to be tohar from Ayman HaSinai. He understood that the reason for the Torah was for Liman HaTorah, and it's a din l'Torah. So who says that it's a Hirasha? So since Ezra had learned Pshat in the Chumash like that, so the later Rabbanim who disagreed with him are not interested in repealing a takanah. They just disagreed in Pshat in the pasuk. So you don't have to have Gadol B'chach M'minyan to disagree. The only time you have to be greater B'chach M'minyan, it's a little paradoxical, but that's the halacha. It's a Yerushalmi. The Rambam tells a quote like that from the Yerushalmi in Shviyas. The Yerushalmi says in the beginning of Shviyas that there was always a din of Tosefes Shviyas. That you have to be in Shemitah, Shnas HaShemitah, you're not allowed to do Avodas HaKarka a month or two before Rosh Hashanah Shal Shemitah begins, and then after Shemitah there's also a din of Tosefes Lefanel and Tosefes Lachre. And then Rabbi Gamliel changed it, and from the days of Rabbi Gamliel on, there's no Tosefes Shviyas. So the Rishalmi asks, how can Rabbi Gamliel repeal a takana that was made by Shammai V'Hillel? Talmidei Shammai V'Hillel made a takana. What, Rabbi Gamliel thought that he was greater B'chachma V'Minyan than Talmidei Shammai V'Hillel? How can it be the Tanoim who talk about the din of Tosefes are by Shammai V'Hillel, the early Tanoim? So the Rishalmi says, B'shosha Asru La Mikra Samchu, B'shosha Hitiru La Mikra Samchu. It was all an issue of a din d'araisa. Bishamah Bisil read the psukim like that. They darshan one way. Rab Gamliel darshan another way. So that's the principle of Eiluch al Hashefet Shabi Amecha. The Kamt of Alisa al Hashefet Hashayir Bayamim Pahein. Yiftach Bedar Kishmul Bedar. Eiluch al Hashefet Shabi Amecha. You don't have to be greater B'chach Mivminyan than the earlier Tana who said Fakir. The Belt says, V'chi Yiftach Ishbar. That Yiftach can't design Abur, he can't be an Amoritz. If Yiftach doesn't know how to learn, then he's not entitled to an opinion. So you can't say Yiftach Bedorah Kishmul Bedorah. Yeah, let's say any rabbi is going to disagree with the Shulchan Aruch. He's not entitled to an opinion. Remember, let's say Rav Moshe, a lot of times in his tshuvas, disagrees with the Chassam Sofer, with the Nadi Yehuda. So there was one rabbi here in New York who wrote a whole attack against Rav Moshe, a whole book. So he says, how can Rav Moshe dare to disagree with the Nadi Yehuda and the Chassam Sofer? What does he think that is greater than them? So Moshe said he didn't say he's greater than them. He thinks he went through all the sources, he's entitled to an opinion, and he disagrees with them, and you have a right to disagree even if you're not greater. The only time you have to be greater, b'chachma v'minyan, is if they made a takana d'rabbanan and you want to repeal it. That's what the Yerushalmi says. Then you have to have gadol b'chachma v'minyan. But if you're arguing what's pshat in the Gemara, what should the maskonas ha'halacha be, how to darshan the psukim, then there's no requirement for greater b'chachma v'minyan. That's what the Yerushalmi says, b'negeh to Tosefes Shviyas Lefanei Alachra. So that's what the Miri says, b'negeh to Takanas Ezra. He says, the 10 Takanas Ezra, 9 were the Rabbanon, and the 10th one was the Raisa. Takanas Ezra, b'negeh to Mikveh, that's a din de Raisa. He learned Pshat in the Pasuk like that, that a Tomei is forbidden. These two Tmeim of Balkari and Paletas are forbidden to learn Torah. And the later Tanoim said, that's not Pshat. They're forbidden to participate in Maimon HaSinai because of the Gidei Shechinah. Not because of learning Torah. So Bizman as that person is going to learn Torah without a Maimon HaSinai, without a Gilui Shechinah, so these men would be permitted to. That's why they had the right. That's what the Miri said. That's why they had a right to change the Psak, because they were fighting. What Pshat in the Chumash? Most of the other Rishonim disagree with the Miri. They say that Ezra never learned Pshat in the Pasuk like that either. Ezra also knew that Pshat in the Pasuk was that the reason why they had to be Tohar was for the Gilui Shechinah purpose. And Ezra just made an asmachta, just like at the time of Kabbalah Sater, they had to be Torah from these two tumas of Balkari and Paletas. So to the Beris, you also need, but it's not a mamatzinu that it's mamish the same. No, it's only a takana de Rabbanon. And that's why Taisus and all the other Rishonim are bothered with the kasha. How could the later Tanoim repeal a takana that was made by Ezra? They weren't greater b'chachma v'minyan. So Taisus gives various answers, various suggestions, how to find him for that kasha. So this institution of Maimon HaSinai with the waiting of the 3 days is taka relevant lalo. It's relevant b'negeh to the din of Paleta Shechazera, why you can't count the Shivanikim right away, why you have to discount the first 4 or 5 days. And it's relevant b'negeh to the issue of Takanas Ezra.
Why don't we contest the Paleta Shechazera without actually seeing?
Without having, it's a lot of chumas, a lot of chumas. The Ramban quotes a Tosefta that if the woman walked, the Gemara, not a Tosefta, the Gemara Nida says, if the woman walked around a little bit after she had Tashmish, then we assume all the Shechazer came out right away. The only time you assume the Shechazer may still be there and coming out a little at a time is if she's laying in bed the whole time. She stays in bed for 5 days straight. Then you discuss how long is it going to take for the Shechazer to come out. So this is Tam Vari Shosa. What was it? Maimon HaSinai, the women were laying in bed there in the Midbar. They're also walking around. So what is the Gemara going to do? The Gemara needed that says that if they walk around, so we assume all the Shechazer rolled out right away within a half an hour. What's the story in the Midbar? It's a problem. It's a problem. The Ramah has a minig in Shulchan Aruch that on Shavuos you have milchiks. But he explains that it doesn't mean that you have milchiks and you don't have fleishiks. He says you have milchiks and fleishiks, because on Shavuos, in addition to all the tamidim and musaf, in addition to all the other karbonas that they were, there was a special karbon that was called shtei halechem. It's a strange lashon, shtei halechem, should really be shnei halechem. Lechem is lashon zocher. So why does the Mishnah call it shtei halechem? Because the Pasuk calls it shtei halechem. Why is the Pasuk called shtei halechem? It's a deep dark secret. We don't know exactly. It's a tesis in Perek Shtei Halechem in Menachos. He asks the tesis with the tesis Yontif. They don't really give an answer. That's the way it says in the Chumash. We don't know exactly why. Why is it called Shtei Halechem? So on Shavuos, in addition to the Tmidim that were offered every day and the special Musafim with the Chattas and everything, there were Kivsei Atzeres, two Karbonis Shlomim. They came in conjunction with Shtei Halechem, two chalas that were chametz, not the matzah. And this was the one exception to the rule. It says in the Chumash that you're not permitted to be makar al gabi mizbech sor or dvash. Sor means chametz, or dvash is any pri or mesikas pri. You're not permitted to be makar al gabi hamizbeach, with the one exception: korban reishis takar voisim v'al mizbech liyalo l'reich nicher.
About Pesach
Sheni,
also is chametz.
Pesach Sheni, eat in the home, but not on mizbeach.
Pesach Sheni.
At home could have chumash, but not to do with the mizbech.
No, you're not makriv the chametz on the mizbech. No, Pesach Sheni, you don't eat chumash with the matzah with the carbon Pesach.
You can have chumash at home.
You can have chumash in the house. There's no din about your rabbi matzah. Right. Rashi on Parshas Bahaloischa says that Pesach Sheni, there's no issa about your rabbi matzah. You're just not permitted to have chumash imo bachi losa. You're not allowed to eat the Pesach Sheni with chumash. So the Minchas Chinuch asks, he doesn't know where in the world Rashi got that from. He doesn't know any mocker at all. Where does it say anywhere in Shas Poskim, except for that Rashi? I mean, Rashi says, but he doesn't know what's Rashi's mocker. He can't say Poskim. Where does it say anywhere in the Makaris? He can't have Chometz B'Achilosoi. On Pesach night, you're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach with Chometz, because it's Chometz, Pesach, you can't eat. Pesach Sheni is not, it's not Pesach. You just bring a Korban Pesach. So you have to eat the Korban Pesach Sheni on Matzah Semrorim. You have to eat it together with matzah. You can't eat the Pesach Sheni together with potatoes either. The Gemara says, a machlek is hatanai, whether you eat together, you say mitzvahs mevat lezu azu. But the Gemara says, if you eat a dvar ashus, if you eat the korban Pesach with potatoes, it's avada mevat lezu. So what does Rashi mean? You can't eat ima bachi losa, that you can't eat chometz with the korban Pesach to swallow it down. You can't eat potatoes either, ima bachi losa. You can't eat any dvar ashus. So what does it mean? You can't eat bachi losa in the Suda, when you eat the Pesach Sheni. He can't eat any time in the Suda. He says, why can't he eat in the Suda Chometz? He doesn't know what Rashi's talking about. Where did Rashi get it from? That's Rashi's Lashon B'Haloischa. Eino Aser Ela Imo Bachi Los. No, but you don't, but the Chometz and the Pesach Sheni, there was nothing Korb on the Mizbech. The only time you Makriv, the only time it's a Korbin, is Shavuos. The Korbin Oimer, the Minchas Oimer was Matzah. The Minchas Oimer was Matzah. You weren't permitted to let it become Chometz. All Menachas were Matzah. These were the only korban that was bo chametz that has to do with the mizbech. A korban toida also. When you bring a korban toida, so you bring 40, you bring 4 minim of matzahs. So one min, there were 40 matzahs. 30 of them are 3 minim, and each min has 10. So 30 of the 40 matzahs are taka matzah. And the other 10 of the fourth men are chometz. But that's not, you're not makrivin on the mizbeach. That's not really a korban. The korban toida is a korban. That comes in conjunction with the korban toida. You bring that. That's not considered an exception to the rule. Ramban writes on Chumash, the korban, the 10 chalas toida that are chometz and do not constitute an exception to the rule of sor u'dvash, because it's not a korban. It's something you bring in conjunction with the korban toida. But here, the shtei alechem, even though you don't put any of the shtei alechem on the mizbeach, but it's considered part, and that's in part of the korban itself, because you do a tenufa chai. This is one of the two exceptions to the rule. Normally, when the Torah says you do a tenufa, you have to pick up a korban. What do you pick up? So you do a tenufa on a mincha. You pick up mincha. You pick up chazav shoyk. You pick up chalovim. Sometimes, when do you ever find that you do tenufa chai? You pick up an animal while it's alive. An animal is very heavy. So one of the two exceptions to the rule is the Kivsei Atzeres, the two Shlomim that were brought on Shavuos. The Kivsei Atzeres, and you're supposed to pick them up. It says, together at the same time, pick up the two behemoths together with the shtei alechem together. So you did the yeved. The Rambam quotes the Gemara: if you picked up the tenufa on the shtei alechem lechud, and you picked up the tenufa on the kipsi atzeres lechud, so you yoyte. You don't have to. You don't require even that you should pick it up again altogether. But lechatchila is supposed to pick it up together because it's part of the same carbon. It's considered a carbon even though you're not makir any of it al gabi hamizbeach. These kipsi atzeres are something. Everything is different about the kipsi atzeres. Kipsi atzeres is a shlomim. Usually a shlomim is a kachim kalim, but there's a mishnah that says that all the mishnah in Tmura says that all karbonas atzibur are kachi kachim. A karbonas ayachid, when a private person and when a group of shutvim offer karbonas, they can either bring a kachi kachim, or they can bring a kachim kalim. But a karbon atzibur always has to be a kachi kachim. So the kipsi atzeres, which were shlomim, because there was Zivcha Shalmi Tzibur, so it says in Ezel Mekoyman, that we usually don't say before Baruch Shomar, it says there in Ezel Mekoyman that Zivcha Shalmi Tzibur Baruch Shomar says Kachi Kachim, as all the dinam of Kachi Kachim, it's only Nechol Yoyim V'layla Ad Chatzois, it's only Nechol by Zichre Kune in the Azor, it doesn't have the status of Kachim Kalim, it has the status of Kachi Kachim. It's a special din that Shalmi Yochid HaKachim Kalim and Shalmi Tzibur HaKachi Kachim, a special din like that. So these, and it's Ton Tnufa Chai, special din. Asham Mitzayr is also Ton Tenufa Chai. When the Mitzayr becomes Tohar, he brings an Asham, but that's a Shaila in the Gemara, whether that Din Tenufa is a Din Derais, a Din Derabonim. So I think it's only a Din Derabonim, but this is a Din Derais, this says Beferish in the Chumash, that the Kivs HaTzeres HaTunim Tenufa Chai. So the special carbon that was brought in conjunction with the Shtei Kivs HaTzeres was the Shtei HaLechem. And to make the Ramah writes, in order to make a zecher l'shtei halechem, so we have a minig not to eat milchiks and shavuos, a minig to eat milchiks and fleishiks. How does that accomplish that you have a zecher l'shtei halechem? So he says, normally if you have, you always need lechem mishnah on Shabbos Yantos. So normally, the Ramah writes, you cut one of the chalas. The Vilna Gaon Paskens like the Rashbo, that you're not yotzei lechem mishnah unless you cut both chalas. If you only cut one challah, you only eat one matzah and you leave the other one a shleimer, like everybody always does, you go to a hotel and you take two challahs together and you eat one, you leave the other one for someone else. So the Vilna Gaon Paskens like the Rashbo, that you're not yetzi lechem mishnah. If you didn't cut it, so you're not yetzi. It doesn't mean that you have to dafki eat a little bit from each one, but you have to cut both. And the Shulchan Aruch doesn't Paskens like that Rashbo. Shulchan Aruch learns like Rashi, the Rashi in Brochus, that is as long as you cut one, as long as you held both together and you cut one, so you yetzi the lechem mishnah. But on Shavuos, the Ramah says, you want to have a zecher l'shtei alechem to this special korban that was brought on Yom Tov Shavuos. So in order to make a zecher l'shtei alechem, we eat both fleishiks and milchiks. And it says in Yerideya, they used to eat years ago, they didn't have forks and knives and spoons and so on. So they used to eat with their fingers, so the fingers would get all full of grease. So if you eat, and then you touch the challah with the cheese, or you touch the challah with the meat. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch that if you had some milchiks and you had challah and you were cutting, so you're not allowed to use the leftover challah if you want to eat fleishiks later, because you have to be afraid that maybe with the sticky fingers that's full of cheese, you touch the challah and the challah has some cheese on it. And the same thing if you ate fleishiks, you have to be afraid that maybe the fingers were sticky and maybe put the grease onto the challah, so you're not allowed to eat the leftover challah if you want to eat milchiks later. So the Ramah says the minig is on Shavuos, you have both fleishiks and milchiks, in order that you have to eat both challahs. In order you have to eat, what do you mean in order to eat both challahs? Because years ago, again, the whole thing doesn't apply this man is it. Years ago, they would always eat everything with bread. Today, people eat so much, they eat just, people usually nibble less than a kazayas. Af yoytze tzizan, you take, you're supposed to have chotsh, at least a kazayas or a kibetze. A yoytze mi kibetze, there are different opinions how much you have to have for Sfudas, Shabbos, or Yantar. Some Shem say kazayas, some say kibetze, some say yoytze mi kibetze. So at least you should eat a little bit in the beginning of the meal, and then people don't eat any more bread the rest. They just leave it and they eat so much flesh and so much vegetables and so many other courses in the meal. But years ago, Europeans eat bread, keseda, throughout the whole meal. So if you're going to have first milchiks, then you're going to have fleishiks, and you're going to eat everything with bread. Keep on eating bread with everything. Rashi Shita is like that. Rashi Shita is that that if you say hamoitzi on bread, you don't have to say a bracha on all the other food, is because you're eating your bread with all the other food. But if you eat the way we eat, you eat your hamaitzi, then you leave the challah and that's all. Then you start cutting up the meat and the chicken, the potatoes and everything. Then Rashi holds you have to say a bracha on each and every bit. Tosis disagrees with Rashi. So we, the minhag olam, is that we follow Tosis. That if you're eating a big meal and you had hamaitzi, even though you don't eat the bread, mamish ba'achil achas, bibli achas, together with the other food, so that's called birach alika potas atvelo.
Pesach, when we eat dessert, we have a piece of challah with a compote, so we won't ask him of the problem.
Right, that's because dessert is a shailah. This is a machlek, is whether dessert needs a machana. So you have challah with it. Right. But the rest of the meal, we follow the hantesis that it's not necessary to eat tafke together.
You can have a pizza better with Rashi.
Right. Right, so Tesis claims apparently it's a new din of Iker and Tafel. The normal Iker and Tafel is, if you're eating together, one is an Iker and one is a Tafel. And this is a separate din of Iker and Tafel, that if you have bread, a little bit of bread, and you have so much
steak.
Yeah, steak and everything else, so that's the Iker and that's the Tafel. It's a new din, the bread is always the Iker. That's what we follow though. So that's what the Ramah says. The Ramah is going, that you're going to eat bread keseder with all the food. So in order to force people to eat both of the challahs, if you all like the Vilna Gaon, you're always going to cut both, so there's no problem. But the Ramah is following the Shulchan Aruch that you normally don't cut both. Or even if you cut both, you're not going to eat from both. So to demonstrate that on Shavuos, there was a korban, to make a zecha to the korban that in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim had to eat both of the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos, the Amatzoi Shavuos, up until Chatzois, Yom Alaylat Chatzois, it's Kotchi Kotchi, it's only Necho Yom Alaylat Chatzois. So they had a minik to eat milchiks and to eat fleishiks b'zeh hazeh, and then they had to eat from both challahs, from this challah and that challah. So in the middle they had a zeichel, zeichel the shteler.
That's right.
That's what others give a time. Why you eat milchiks and you don't eat fleishiks? Yeah, but that's not what the Ramos says.
How could you eat fleishiks?
That's a shaila whether right after Matan Torah whether they ate fleishiks, because they just got to Torah and they found out that all the flesh was nevela, was treish. But b'zman hazeh we already have the, we assume our flesh is kosher, we already have the flesh, and nothing changes. You mean we should make a zecha? That's how some say. They make a zecha le Shavuos, that the original Shavuos they only ate after Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Hasina, told them the good news that all the flesh is treish. Then a couple of years later told them the good news, all the milk was cholavakum, was also treish. Then the green of it came, everything became treish. And the water maybe was kosher. Yeah. If it's a real suffix, they say suffix brachas lo'akil. But some hold that it's not a suffix, it's a vadai. They hold that it's a vadai. Dvarim sheboim shelo machmas hasuda. Dessert is dessert. You don't need it to fill yourself up. You eat it for the flavor, for the taste. Yeah, we pass from the Sebra. The only thing is, they quote from the Chafetz Chaim that even on the Mishnah Berurah says that you say a bracha on dessert, but they say that Baal Peh, he used to say that if you always eat dessert at the end of the meal, then it's considered Dvar Mabayim Machmas Hasuda. Because everybody knows that it's on the menu and you're going to eat it, so it's considered Dvar Mabayim Machmas Hasuda. Baal Peh, it contradicts what it says in the Mishnah Berurah in a vein. That's why it's a shame.
I think that they're talking about dessert.
Yeah, if you have bread with it, it solves the problem.
Then it's equal to people even make up all the mazonos if they cake it for dessert.
Yeah, that says in Shulchan Aruch, that if you have cake for dessert...
Why is that part of the... also? Why is that certainly as good as...
It says in Shulchan Aruch, if you're still hungry and you eat the cake in order to fill yourself up, then it's called Dvar Mabayim Machmas Hasuda. But let's say if the person is ready full and is just eating this because of the flavor, so then it's considered dessert. So then if you have ice cream for dessert, you have to say shakal. If you have cake for dessert, you have to say mezainis. But the Kavega just points out that a lot of the cakes are sofik hamoitzi sofik mezainis. It says in Shulchan Aruch that pasa bobekistin is bar minim mezainis. But there's a shaila, what's the definition of pasa bobekistin? So there are different opinions. So we go lakul on everything. We treat anything that's a sofik mezainis, we pass from that it's a mezainis lakula. Rabbi Kavega says, but that's only if I'm eating a piece of cake and I don't know whether it's hamoitzi or mezainis. So a mekel, I don't have to wash, and I don't say hamoitzi, I say mezainis, and I don't have to bench, I just say alamichia. But here I should say the reverse. If I just finished eating a meal, and I said hamoitzi at the beginning of the meal, now at the end of the meal I want to have a piece of cake. Now if that piece of cake is a suffik hamoitzi, suffik mezainis, then you should say suffik brachas lohakel in the reverse. Maybe it's really hamoitzi, and you already said hamoitzi at the beginning of the meal, so you shouldn't say again. Right, right. No, but it's a suffik bracha. It's a suffik bracha. If you have some kind of a cake that's a suffik hamoitzi, suffik mezainis, so the Mishnah Berurah quotes Rabbi Kavega, the Chiddush Rabbi Kavega, on the bottom of the Orach Chaim, I already said hamoitzi at the beginning of the meal. So if I have this cake at the end of the meal that's a Safik Hamaiti, Safik Mezainis, then you shouldn't say Mezainis. Even though you're full and you're not eating it in order to fill yourself up, you're eating it as Anash, but still, if it's a Safik Hamaiti, so you already said Hamaiti in the beginning of the meal, so maybe this is Hamaiti. If you eat it separately, then you say Golda Kula, treat it like Mezainis. But if you eat at the end of the meal, you should Golda Kula in the other direction. So Rav Moshe Feinstein just writes in his Sefer that we follow the Magen Avraham says that practically all, most of our cakes, it depends what kind of cakes you eat, most of the cakes that I eat are very, 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 very sweet. They have a ton of sugar in them. So the Magen Avraham says that if it has an awful lot of sugar, then it's a Vaday Mezainis. That it's not a Safek HaMaitzi Safek Mezainis. If it's a cake that doesn't have so much sugar, just has a little flavoring here and there, then it's a, if it's a pie that has a filling, that's absolutely Vaday Mezainis. That's not a Safek. That's literally Pas, Habo, Bekisnet. There's a kiss, there's a packet that has the filling in it, so that's for sure. A pie that has a filling inside, that's absolutely Vaday Mezainis. And if you have a cake that has a lot of sugar in it, that's a shaylib, and the Magen Avraham paskens, that's not a, we don't treat that as a suffix, we treat that also as a vaday mezainis. If you eat that at the end of the meal, that's vaday mezainis. But if you have, let's say, a cake that has a little flavoring and it doesn't have that much sugar in it, and it doesn't have any filling in it, so that's a suffix mezainis, suffix hamaitzis. So if you would eat it in the middle of not in connection with the meal, we would pasken lakula, eat. Same mezainis on it. Don't say hamaitzi and don't wash and don't bench. But if you eat it at the end of the meal, then Rabbi Kiveger is right. Then we paskin, don't say mezainis on it. Maybe it's really hamaitzi, so it's covered with the hamaitzi that you said in the beginning of the meal.
Mezainis,
yeah. Jello is dessert. Jello is dessert. So you should say shakalana, tea is a different shakalana. Tea, the Rajbo says that if a person is thirsty because of the meal that he had and he wants to wash down the meal, so that's also called Rama Bai Machmas Hasuda. Not only is it called, unless let's say he wants to have tea because he has a cold, and it's totally unrelated to the meal. It's not for the purpose of washing down the food. He already drank during the whole meal. Yeah, but the question is the tea in order to wash down the food?
To wash down
the dessert?
Yes, it's always customary that people have dessert.
When you eat dessert, we
should...
That's the Chafetz Chaim says like that.
When you eat dessert,
there's an old Machlokes. In Meiri, he has a sefer that's called Mogen Ovis, where he defends the Minhagi Ovis that his ancestors had in Provence. Provence was in between France and Spain. So after the Ramban passed away, Talmid Ramban moved from Spain to Provence in order to learn by the Chacham. Then there was a lot of friction because they had different Minhagim and they had different Minhagim. So the Meiri wrote a whole kuntres that's called Mogen Ovis to defend. They call it on the outside of the cover, they call it Shadus HaTshuvas on Meiri. That's not Shadus HaTshuvas. No Shilas over there. He's just Mevarer, I think, 14 or 16 different issues that were Machloikisim. So one of them is when you say Kel Melech Nemon, when you say Krishma B'Yechidus, and one of them is when Tisha B'Av falls out on Sunday, when you say Havdalah, if you say Havdalah at all, do you drink the cup, you give it to a cut, and all the different Shitas. And one of them is this issue. Whether you say a bracha when you eat dessert at the end of the meal, and you know you always eat dessert.
What an alta Machloikis? You eat dessert, don't you really take a fruit? You want to make a bracha, so you take a regular fruit and you make a bracha on the fruit.
Yeah, okay. This Korban Shtei Alechem states in the Mishnah that it's from wheat, in contrast to the Mincha Soima, which was from barley. The Mefarshim point out that barley, Soim is a Michael Behema usually. Horses eat barley, that's what it says in Tanakh. And wheat is usually a Michael Odom. So they point out that there's a major difference between the theme of the Yontav Pesach and the theme of the Yontav Shavuos. So the theme of Pesach is Emunah. All the Yisraelis Emunah when it's Galat Ibn Israel at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the theme of the Yontav Shavuos is Kabbalah Satayra. So Emunah is supposed to be like the Pasuk, the Balatanya quotes the Pasuk in Tehillim, Behemus Ani Loch, Behemus Ani Yitoch. That a person is not supposed to clear Arayin so much into Emunah. We have a historical tradition that the Ribbono Shel Olam exists, and that he gave us Torah min HaShamayim, and that he rewards the tzaddikim and he punishes the Rishoyim. All the Yisraelis HaEmunah, and that he controls Teva, and he has the ability to change things in the world, and obviously if he controls and has the ability to change, he must have been the one who created the world. So all the Yesaridis HaEmunah, all the Yud Gili Mekar HaEmunah, when it's Barat to Bnei Yisrael, historically at the time of its Yes Mitzrayim. So because the Yontav of Pesach is a Yontav of HaEmunah, that's what the Zohar says, the Matzah is Mechla de Mehem Nusot, the Matzah of HaEmunah, the whole theme of the Yontav is to be Mechazik HaEmunah. So that's why in Pesach we eat Meichel Behem. Because the Behemah doesn't clear our eye, the Behemah doesn't have Seichel to think. Emunah does nothing to clear about. Masha'ini Kein on Shavuah is day, you're supposed to use your brain, so you use Meichel Odom. Yontav Shavuah is a Yontav of Kabbalah HaTorah, so the Rebbeinu Shalom wants us to use our minds to understand what are the Dinei HaTorah. So that's why the Korban on, that's why the Korban on Shtei Alechem on Shavuah is supposed to be Dafke from wheat. And that's what they point out, all the Chassidish Shavuah point out, that's exactly why there's the difference that one was Matzah and one was Chometz. Chometz means that it rises and it develops. And Matzah is plain, Poshet Azach. So on Pesach, when it's a Yontav of Amunis, Amunis is plain, it's supposed to be something plain. It doesn't mean that the Amun is supposed to be stupid and it's supposed to be foolish like a Behemah. It's supposed to understand what the Amun is, but it's not supposed to be so fancy and so flowery. Poshet Amunah Pshuta. Nothing to clear about. Masha'ini Kein on Yontav Shavuos, which is the Yontav of Kabbalah HaTorah. So we're supposed to have Yigi of Amolah HaTorah. Not that I'm supposed to read the Gemara, Daf Yomi, and run through and cover Shas quickly without understanding. You're supposed to have Yigi of Amolah HaTorah to try to understand exactly what the halacha is and what the details are, and why the din is on, what would the din be in this case, what would the din be in that case, in order to understand. So you're supposed to let the work on it. That's the siman of Chometz, to let it rise a little bit, that it shouldn't just be poshut. You should let it rise.
Why
the Ramban writes on Chumash that the Yontif of Shavuos is the Atzeres, is the Gemara of Pesach, because Ein Lecha Ben Chorin Al Misha Isik Batera, that the Yitzias Mitzrayim was in order to make us Bnei Chorin, but we shouldn't think that we're Bnei Chorin, just we ran away from our masters and we're free to do whatever we want. The real true Ben Chorin is only one who is Mekabel Torah, as it says in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Choras al aluchas, I think. Choras al aluchas.
Why didn't
he? I don't know if it's because of the carbonis. I don't know if it's because of the carbonis. When the day that you bring the carbon, I don't know. I think the Rabban HaChumash assumes that the counting is like a long chalamoid, he calls it. It's like a long chalamoid that connects, even though you just had a chalamoid Pesach, it's a long chalamoid that connects the Yontav of Pesach with the Yontav of Shavuos because of this theme, that the Shleimus of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the completion of the Cheres was only with the Kabbalah Sotah. So the Mishnah has that all other Menachas, when you bring a Mincha in the Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't necessarily have to be from grain that grew in Eretz Yisrael. These two Karbanos, the Oyman and Shtei Alechem, have a special din, has to dafka grow in Eretz Yisrael. The wheat from the Shtei Alechem and the barley for the Yomer have to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. The grows of Chutz La'aretz is no good. So it's interesting, the Gemara has a suffix in Perek Rabbi Yishmael. Perek Rabbi Yishmael is all about the Yomer. So the Gemara clears a shayla, what's the din of chitim sheyordu ba'ovim? Somewhat in a shayla. What if there was a clouds?
Snow.
The clouds bring down a sack of grain. Wheat, chitim, for the Shtei Alechem, for the chitim, for the Shtei Alechem. Gemara is a shayla, is it good or not? What's the shayla if it's good? So Rashi... Yes. Yeah, so it's not from Eretz Yisrael. So what's the... She's tight talking it, so it's no good.
Maybe Eretz Yisrael came down.
So if you don't know, so the suffix is no good. So Rashi learns that it means a sack of grain flies down from heaven, and obviously came from a boat that was traveling in the Mediterranean or something, and then there was a whirlwind and threw it up and then threw it down. So what's the suffix? So you have to find out. Where did it come from? So Taisa disagrees with Rashi. So Taisa's on the top, here it is. Taisa says on Samach Tes on base, Chitim Shiyar Dabam Pirish Bekuntush, Sheshasu biyukyanus, it's in Perek Rabbi Shmuel, and Menachas Samach Tes on the base. Pirish Bekuntri, Sheshasu biyukyanus, a bowl of svina malaya chitim. That the clouds on top somehow absorbed the sacks of wheat, and then it threw it down on an Eretz Yisrael. So Fekhtar Abin Atam, yeah, so Fekhtar Abin Atam, it's a tornado. It's the Chutz Chutz Loretz. So what's the shot? Of course it's no good. And if it came from Eretz Yisrael, of course it is good. Why should it all of a sudden be good? So Abin Atam comes up with a noob shot, Elanir Ali, Ayidei Nes Yorda Bob. Chitim Shorda Bob means Apsam Nesman Hashamayim, the Chitim came down.
Like the Mon?
Like the Mon, yeah, but the Mon was once in the history of the world. So when Tesis tries to find something better, so they dug up Siddur Gemara in Sanhedrin, they quote, on Daf Nun Tesam and Beis, where the Gemara talks about one of the Amoraim had flesh come down from heaven. So the shaila was, but it was nevela, as trade for the Gemara says, ain't dava tama yorib ben hashamayim. That's how the Gemara says. If it's a nest, if it's a nest that it comes down, so it's, no, it's not, it's not, it wasn't a behemoth that was born from another behemoth.
Was fed meat from the olive or the meat from Machal Slaughterhouse.
That was Machal Slaughterhouse, yeah. But here the Gemara in Sanhedrin talks a different thing, that it was a nest ben hashamayim, yeah. That the yeshmeyayin came, yeshmeyesh, whatever, it came down flesh. So the Gemara says, how do you know if it's kosher? Trade for the Gemara says, ain't dava tama yorib ben hashamayim. If it's a nest, so then it's kosher.
Shem and Nes, you don't make a bruch, so why should you
do that? So that's what the Vel Tain is against Taisus. But Taisus says the Pshat and the Gemara, we'll get to that in a second. So Taisus says the Pshat and the Gemara Zibai is the halacha that chutz loretz, is the halacha that you need dafke Eretz Yisrael. So if it comes from a Nes, it's no good, it didn't grow in Eretz Yisrael. Or maybe the halacha is not that you need Eretz Yisrael. Chutz loretz is no good, but this is not chutz loretz. It's not Eretz Yisrael either. So that's the shaila, that the Oimer Shtei Alechem has to come from Eretz Yisrael. So it didn't come from Eretz Yisrael, but it didn't. But it didn't come from chutz, it didn't grow in chutz lorz either. It came from heaven, right. It doesn't have the negative chisorin of chutz lorz. So that's how the Taisus seems to learn. So that's what the Weltfregt Akasha, the Rab Chaim Briske had a famous interpretation that for shemen for hadlokas hamanoira in the base hamigdash has to be dafke, shemen zayizoch, kos islamor. And if you would have shemen nes, if let's say they used up all the oil the first night of Chanukah, they filled up all the oil. And they used it all up, and then the next night it would be a nest, and they had more oil, so they wouldn't be able to use that oil because Shem and Nes is not called Shem and Zayis. It's a synthetic. It's not Zayis. It didn't come from a Zayis. So the Velt asks if Rab Chaim Svar is a good Svar. Rab Chaim Svar is correct, and the Chor makes so much sense. So how can you use these chit mishiyor de ba'avim for the purpose of shtei alechem? If the chumash says you need daf kechitim, you can't bring sorim, and you can't bring something else. It has to be daf kechitim. You can't bring rice, and you can't bring something else. So if it's chitim shalnes, a chitim shalnes shouldn't be the min. It's the wrong min. So makshim hoylem, but that's what Taisus learns. Taisus learns that was the gemara zibai. If chit mishiyor de ba'avim, whether it's good or not. Yeah.
But this is not Tumas Chutzlorz, this is Shemayim.
No, he just used as a Melitza, he says Tumas Chutzlorz. I mean, the Chisorin of Chutzlorz didn't apply to this because it was Benes. No. Nothing to do with Tumas. What was the purpose of the Shtei HaLechem and the Beis HaMikdash? The Gemara explains also in Perek Rabbi Shmuel. See, there is a Perek Shtei HaLechem. In the Oimer and the Shtei HaLechem are both Matir and Yisr Chodosh. The reason Yisr Chodosh, it says in the Chumash, lechem kol v'kama lo yisrach la'aretzem ayam ha'zahar al-yachem ha'zahim ha'tnufa. You're not permitted to eat any tvua that grows. Tvua only means from the chameshes mine dovrim. That's wheat and barley and all the other kinds of wheat and all the other kinds of barley. It was basically two minim, wheat and barley. So you're not allowed to eat wheat and barley and all the rabbis' rayos of wheat and barley. From the new tvua that grew this year, new tvua that grew after last Pesach, until you bring the Yomer of this Pesach. And if you live as Manshein Beis HaMikdash Kayam, then the Mishnah says you have to wait till the end of the day on which you would have normally brought the Yomer, the Hainu, the first day Chalamayt Pesach, Tezayin Nissen. First day Pesach is Tezvav Nissen. And there's only one day Yontif Minatar, and Eretz is only one day Yontif. So Tezayin Nissen is the first day Chalamayt. That's the day on which he's supposed to bring the Korban HaYomer, the Minchas HaYomer. So Bizman HaMikdash, once you bring the Korban HaYomer, so you're permitted to eat the new Tvua right away. And this man, Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayam, Rabbi Yechem and Zakai, made a takana, that's one of the nine takanas of Rabbi Yechem and Zakai, and the Gemara says that eight are the Rabbanon, and the ninth one is the rice, it's Dorash V'Hiskin. Rabbi Yechem and Zakai was Dorash V'Hiskin, that you're not allowed to eat the Chodesh.